Well, good morning. The Bible, as Uncle George has shared with us already this morning, and I'll be repeating a little bit of what he has already spoken of. The Bible tells us that children are truly a heritage. They are a gift, a reward that comes from God. And Jesus had a special concern for children, as has been mentioned in Mark 10, verses 14 to 16. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to God, come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter in." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. In Matthew 18, verses 10 and 14, Jesus also said, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should be lost." And the Bible also instructs us in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." It's to be constantly taught, not just at the dinner table or on a Sunday when we come for service, but in every part of our lives, the Word of God is to be taught and to be, it's a part of us. And as has been mentioned, children are truly a gift from God, and they come from God. And they come with responsibility, and certainly sacrifices of parents need to be made. But parents should never worry nor feel overwhelmed, for God supplies amply the grace in when we earnestly seek Him, Lord, and petition to Him. He will provide us with that wisdom. The tradition of parents dedicating their children to the Lord God has been well established, as has been mentioned already this morning. We've seen right from the beginning, when the law was introduced, the children were to be dedicated to God, and I would say right from the very beginning, with Adam and Eve even. And as mentioned, Hannah and Mary both recognized their firstborn sons as gifts from God and desired to dedicate them to the service of God. These were true acts of sacrifice on their part. Hannah prayed and petitioned, for she was barren and didn't have a child, and she prayed that the Lord would supply her a male child. And it wasn't because of selfish pride. It was because of selfless praise. She desired to praise her husband with a blessing of a son, but more importantly, to praise God for His glory. Proverbs 17, verse 6, we read, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." And if we read the words of Hannah, we can see the selflessness as she dedicated her son Samuel. 1 Samuel 1, verse 27 and 28, we read, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. We read here that Hannah lent her son Samuel to the Lord. It means to return that which she had petitioned for. And we do this all the time with material things in our lives. We ask for something from a family or a friend, and if they're gracious enough to lend it to us, we take it on promise that we will return it. Some people become very attached to the material things of this world. Maybe it's their brand new tool they don't want to lend out, or they have a car they don't maybe entrust to borrow to someone. But there is responsibility there in lending it out, and also to the borrower to return it. But here we are talking about a living soul, a human child, something far more infinitely more valuable than material things. And she was willing to return to this child to God, that which she had fondly grown attached to over the many months that she took care of this child before presenting it to the Lord in the temple. Likewise, Mary and Joseph brought her firstborn son, Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as has been read in Luke 2. This was the Jewish custom, but this was no ordinary boy, and this was no ordinary presentation. This was the Son of God. God had previously revealed to Mary that this boy was God's anointed Christ, the Savior of Israel and the world. And I certainly do not believe that Mary knew quite what the sacrifice she was making when she brought her son to be presented before the Lord, the sacrifice that he would have to make, that he would willingly make. This child, of course, was the true gift, the awesome gift from God to Mary and Joseph, but it was not for them alone. He needed to be dedicated and returned to the Father to be a gift and shared with the world, a gift that each person can and needs to receive to inherit everlasting life. And today, Jeff and Vicky have brought their gift from God, a son named Jackson, and have dedicated him to the Lord. Now, when Hannah brought her son to the temple, we read in 1 Samuel 1, verse 22, that she brought him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. There's some powerful words behind there. There abide forever. You think of the sacrifice, but it also comes with a promise to us that we too can abide with God forever. Now, of course, when Jeff and Vicky go home, they will be taking their son. He is not being dedicated to this church to stay. He will be in their care. What they've done here this morning is pledge to instruct their son to see that their son grows in knowledge, to love the Lord, and that he would in time desire to abide with Jesus forever. And we know that our bodies are called a temple and that they house the Holy Spirit when we invite Jesus into our lives, when we confess our sins and make him the Lord of our life. And there is a promise to abide with us forever as well. John 14, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "that he may abide with you forever." This is an everlasting covenant to those who pledge their lives to the Lord. And we as the church body are to be active in supporting parents to nurture their children in the instruction of God's word. Psalm 61, I would like to read, is a psalm. It's a prayer. When things are maybe not going as well as you hope they are, and certainly parents can probably sympathize that things don't always go exactly how you anticipate or how you want to, but there is also a promise in here that God abides with his children forever, and it's mentioned three times in this short psalm. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever." This is just as Hannah presented Samuel to the temple forever. "I will trust in the covert of thy wings, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." And so what is the biblical godly instruction that parents and we, the church family, who have vowed to help parents of these children, what is it that we are instructed and need to follow? Well, God's word is full of instructions from cover to cover, but I would like for us to examine and look at the words of Solomon in the book of Proverbs. And I'll read Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 9, which gives instruction on wisdom and truly is a good instruction for us all that we should all take note of. Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 9. "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Solomon, of course, was appointed by God to be the king, the leader of Israel, and was gifted with unparalleled wisdom, as we know, because he humbly sought the Lord. This was the wisdom revealed by God, and so the instructions we read here in Proverbs are not Solomon's words, but they are God's words. And yet it must be stated that Solomon didn't always follow these words that he was given and that he was instructed to write down. He is an example of one that started off well and didn't finish so well. For we know that he didn't hold to the sanctity of marriage of between one man and one woman. He took many wives. And he wasn't exactly the father of the year, I would say. He was not the greatest example of what a father should be. And yet, these words that were given to him were pure, holy, and true. And we should take heed to the words, not to the example of Solomon, but to the words that God gave him. What we learn first is that there are four proactive steps in these nine verses. Proactive steps that parents, children, and individuals should take. Verse 2 says to know. Verse 3 says to receive. Verse 4 says to give. And verse 6 says to understand. Verse 2 says we are to know wisdom and instruction. Perhaps you have heard the word yada before. When people say yada, yada, yada in a conversation, they insert it to bypass a lot of the details of a conversation, to speed it up or to shorten it. What you may not know is that the Hebrew word yada means to know. So in a sense, you're saying, you know, you know, you know. And that's kind of what people say anyways. They often say, you know what I mean, in a conversation. And so you see where this derives from. But God instructs us to actually know, not to bypass the details, but to truly examine, to know the smallest details, for they are all for our instruction, so we may perceive, that is, understand the instructions of God for our lives and those that we are entrusted to teach. There are many things that I know and yet do not understand. There's a big difference between knowing and understanding. I know in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and I believe that. But do you think I actually know how it happened? If I understand how God did that? Not even remotely. But this is the first action. It is to know, to be informed, to know, to not run from truth, but to surround ourselves in it. Just because we may not understand something in the Bible doesn't mean we should reject it. We should pray about it and seek God's wisdom and His Holy Spirit's revealing. The next action is to receive the instruction. Maybe you order something online, especially in this day, you can't go sometimes to pick up some things, and someone may come to your door. You may know they're outside your door, and they have a package addressed for you. But unless you open the door and actually receive it by signing for it, it will remain not really yours. It will remain outside the door or may go back to their place of business. We have to receive it to claim it as ours. We are to claim instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, just as believers claim salvation through Jesus when we receive Him into our lives. It must be received. A gift always needs to be received. As changed individuals, we are to put off the former way of thinking and acting and receive godly instruction and action. Wisdom is godly knowledge. Justice is godly outcomes. Judgment is godly pronouncements. And equity is a godly going forth or a godly walk. We need to receive this into our lives and truly live by them. Not just say them, but truly believe them and walk by them. So we may carry out the next action, and that is to give. To give subtlety to the simple. That means to give caution or advice, just as our parents have given us warnings and advice, instruction. It must be given, and it must be given to others of what God has instructed us. People sometimes say when giving advice that they may tell you, don't learn the hard way as I have. And that is good instruction on its own. We are to give instruction just as we've received instruction. It would be truly selfish to receive instruction, important information, and not to share that with others and pass it along. Proverbs 9, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. God's word was given to us for instruction. We read that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's one thing to know of something and to receive that something, but if you're not given instruction on that something, it may be of no value. A man was just finishing up work when his wife called him and asked him to if he could do a favor for her. He said, oh, absolutely. What can I do? She said, I ordered a special piece of furniture from IKEA, that dreadful place many people may not like. And he asked if he could pick it up and assemble it for her. After picking up the many unmarked brown boxes, he arrived home to find that there were no instructions in any of the boxes. No worry, he was a smart man. He could figure it out. He knew his wife called it a special piece of furniture and had asked him specifically to pick it up. So naturally, it must have been that rocking chair he wanted for the porch. As he started to assemble it, he realized some pieces were missing. There were extras of others. Some things needed to be cut, and other things seemed absolutely non-essential. Finally, after much work, it was finished. A little unorthodox looking, but it was probably of European design. Eventually, his wife arrived home. She saw her proud husband and thanked her for the gift. He thanked her for the gift, at which point she informed him it was an interesting looking chair, but not a practical place for their new child to sleep in. Could you now assemble the crib you were supposed to pick up? See, giving instruction is an integral part of life, and certainly an integral part of discipleship, whether it be discipling a new believer, a new apprentice, or even a young child. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The last action to be taken on godly instruction is to understand. When you give instruction and teaching to the less mature in faith, then naturally their understanding in God's word becomes more clear and is revealed to the humble through God's Holy Spirit. Jesus often spoke in Proverbs, and as Solomon says in Proverbs, he says that he spoke in dark riddles or dark sayings. That means riddles. It's something that is hidden. Even Jesus was asked by his disciples why he speaks in Proverbs. Why do you speak of hidden things? Well, he reveals the answer in Matthew 13 and verses 10 to 15. When speaking of these parables of the kingdom of heaven, He reveals why he speaks in parables in Matthew 13, verses 10 to 15. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speak thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall he be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. And here's the reason why. For this people's heart is waxed gross. For their eyes are dull of hearing, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, I should heal them. Jesus wasn't saying that he was blinding them, that he didn't desire that they would be saved. It's because of the hardness of their heart that they would not humble themselves before their Lord God, that they would not bring their sins before him and be cleansed and turn away from them. For if they would, he would surely heal them. Matthew 10, verse 25, Jesus once again says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. We are to receive the word of God as children. An innocent little child comes to believe what their parents say. And we are to believe what our perfect Heavenly Father tells us and instructs us. This is why it's important for parents to give godly instructions to their children right from a young age. Statistically, I remember, I believe it was CEF, the Child Evangelism Fellowship, at one of their banquets, they said statistically, for those that receive the Lord as a child was so much greater than those who would come to faith at an older age. And so there's an importance laid upon that. Not that it's impossible to come to faith at any age, but that it is much more likely because they believe it and understand it and trust in it. When you know that as a young child that you are a sinner and needing to repent and ask for forgiveness, and when you receive that forgiveness from a loving, holy, righteous God, and understand that, then you are able to give that same gift to others and begin to grow in a deeper understanding of God's love. That is the beginning, and it begins with the fear of the Lord. As Solomon said in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon concludes this portion in verses 8 and 9, for children to listen and obey their parents, to honor their parents, the instructions that they receive, for the wisdom that they are given from God are an ornament, a wreath of grace unto thy head, and a chain around their neck like a necklace. Wisdom and instruction are likened to jewelry laid prominently upon oneself. So if we seek godly wisdom and teach it to others, then truly there are treasures heaped up in heaven for God's glory. And I'd like to close with another portion of Proverbs, Proverbs 4, verses 5 to 10. This is a command to obtain wisdom, just as we teach wisdom from God's word. Proverbs 4, verses 5 to 10. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. We don't seek the wisdom of God for our own glory, but so that we can humbly serve God better and to teach others. For we are promised a crown of glory. And that is an awesome promise. And we certainly are here to support Jeff and Vicky and those of the young families within our churches and outside even, families and friends. We're here to pray for them, encourage them, and help them in any physical way as well to mentor and support these families. Shall we stand for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you again once for your word, Lord, once again. It's a blessing that you sent your word, that you sent your Son, who is the Word. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness we have through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, may we seek you all the more, that your holiness would reign in our lives, that your purity would be a part of us, Lord, that we'd be as this young son, this young child, Lord, that we would be come to you, that we would seek you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless each one here who has been a witness, who has pledged to support both Jeff and Vicky, and I pray you'd bless them and young Jackson. May you bless their families, Lord. Encourage them, strengthen and uphold them. Lord, I pray you'd be with our entire church family. There's a number who are dealing with physical ailments, those that are going through some struggles. May you encourage them in this day, Lord. I pray, Lord, for healing according to your will. Hearing the news of Uncle George's brother, Willie, Lord, we pray that you would be upon him, that you'd continue to fill him with joy and peace, and that, Lord, if it be your will, that you'd bring healing to him as well, that you'd strengthen him in this day, Lord. Lord, we seek you, and we know that there's no guaranteed for our health necessarily in this life, Lord. We know that these bodies are frail and will one day will die if you should tarry so long, Lord. But we know that we are safely and securely in your hands for all eternity, and that you have promised to abide with us forever. And that is an awesome promise that I pray each and every one here today has received through your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and praise you in this day and ask for your guidance and your blessings in the days to come. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.